The sermon this morning is from the prophet Habakkuk. So if you would like to turn there in your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter number 2 in the Pew Bible, that is found on page 826. Page 826 in the Pew Bible in front of you. Our text is Habakkuk chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. But before we read God's word and have the sermon preached, let us pray. Our wonderful Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this opportunity in the history of our lives to read the word of God together in this congregation and then to hear a sermon from this passage of Scripture. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would illumine our hearts as we read, and then as the word is preached, may Christ, you take that word and penetrate our minds and our hearts that it would affect our lives. Oh, we pray, gracious, gracious God and Father and Son and Holy Spirit, that you would take us and mold us into the image of Jesus Christ, that you would take us and fill us with more faith, stronger faith. Lord, we do believe, but help our unbelief. And so we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we give ourselves by your grace to hear the word. Bless it to us now for your glory and our good. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Habakkuk chapter number 2 and beginning in verse 1. I, says Habakkuk, will stand my watch and set myself in the rampart. And watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. That is God's holy word. Blessed be his name. The prophet Habakkuk lived during the time of Judah's rebellion, and he also lived during a time when God was about to send Babylon to judge Judah for their sin. Habakkuk was a Christian who trusted in the promises of the Messiah, but as a Christian, he was also in deep turmoil about God's ways. In the midst of this turmoil, God inspired him by the Holy Spirit to write this small book that we have in Holy Scripture. This book of Habakkuk is a dialogue between the prophet Habakkuk and God Almighty. And this is the conversation. First, Habakkuk finds himself in the temple of the Lord, and he's there thinking and contemplating about God's people. He realizes that God's people, Judah, are full of evil. And in the temple, he pours out his heart to God in prayer about the people of God. He gives his complaint to God. He says, Lord, why do you tolerate evil in your people? He prayed this in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 3. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. He was speaking that, praying about that in regards to Judah, the people of the Lord. Well, there in the temple, God answers Habakkuk. And God's answer was this. God Almighty was ordering the Babylonians, a people more wicked than Judah, to judge his people. This was God's answer to Habakkuk. You read of it in chapter 1 and verse 5. Here's the Lord's reply. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. For indeed, I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses are also swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. That was God's answer to Habakkuk. A people more wicked than Judah was going to come and judge Judah, and he himself was going to send them. Well, Habakkuk hears this from God and he responds. This answer from God brought Habakkuk to great perplexity and lament. He confessed God was holy and good. So why and how could God use evil? Habakkuk's soul is in turmoil. We read of this in chapter 1 and verse 12, where Habakkuk says to God, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment, O Rock. You have marked them for corruption. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? God, why? The Babylonians are much more wicked. The Chaldeans are much more wicked than Judah. Why are you using evil?" Christian, at times we are in turmoil about God's ways in our world and God's ways in our own lives. We can't see the kingdom of God's full end. We sometimes can't see the wisdom of God's providence. We often do not understand the sovereignty of God. What should be our response? What was Habakkuk's response? What was his resolve in the midst of this turmoil? It was to live by faith. You see, rightly God says in chapter 2 and verse 4 that the just shall live by his faith. You see, all of us were born dead in trespasses and sins. All of us were born sinners. If we are alive and in Christ this morning here in this church, if we are justified, that is, if we are made righteous by God, if we are forgiven of all of our guilt and sin, we are justified by Christ through the faith that God the Holy Spirit has given us. We live by our faith. That is, we are born again. We are righteous by faith. That is the faith that God by the Holy Spirit gives to us when we are regenerate. But we as Christians also live our Christian lives by the faith that God has given us, even through great turmoils of evil. So we are united to Christ, justified by faith, right with God by faith alone, in Christ alone. But because we are justified by faith, we also live by faith as Christians. And this means that we live by faith as Christians, even through great turmoils of evil. Habakkuk is an example of living by faith during great turmoils of evil. Christians, what does it mean to live by faith? Living by faith involves, first of all, committing your problem to the Lord. Committing your problem to the Lord. Habakkuk did that. You read of this in verse 1 of chapter number 2. He says, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me." Habakkuk was perplexed and discouraged by the sin of Judah and also by God using the evil Babylonians. But he would not let his soul be overwhelmed by evil. So by faith, he went to the rampart, or he went to the tower that were on the city walls of Jerusalem, to pray and to commit the problem to the Lord. Committing your questions and problems to the Lord means that you let God take over. Literally, the word in the Hebrew means that you roll your burden, on to the Lord. To trust Him to help and to trust Him to do the work that He is doing. Have you ever asked yourself or others, why did this bad thing happen? How come my family struggles so much? Why are dictators allowed to live? Why was my friend murdered? Why did that happen at Costco a number of months ago with that car and the accident? Well, go to the watchtower, as it were. Go to the rampart, as it were, and commit it to God. Roll your questions and struggles off your shoulder and leave them with God, beloved. Don't deal with the problem of evil yourself, but practice 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, which teaches us that if we're anxious or we're burdened, we're to leave our burdens with the Lord who cares for us. And my friends, God has made it possible for sinners to commit their lives to Him, to commit their burdens to Him. You see, this is possible in Jesus Christ. He committed the problem of our sin to God His Father when the Spirit of God brought Him to Calvary. And there at Calvary, when Christ refused to come down from the cross, remember, we read of that in Mark chapter number 15, that though they wagged their heads at Him, though they mocked Him, He would not come down from the cross. And the reason why is that He took our burden of sin upon Himself. Psalm 22 verse 8 prophesies that Messiah Jesus committed Himself to the Lord God and would not go back on the Father's will, even though His accusers taunted Him. No, He stayed on the cross until it was finished. God Almighty would not let His soul, be overwhelmed by the problem of our evil. So He went to the cross. He committed the problem of evil to Himself. So He sent His only Son to save us so that we could commit our lives to Him. That He would be the answer to all our evil. That He would be the answer to all the evil of mankind. That He would be the victory over evil. You see, in this gospel, Habakkuk could commit his way to God. And in this gospel, you can commit your way to God. No, Habakkuk could not fully understand why God in His holiness would use the evil Babylonians. But he, in the gospel, could commit this problem to the Lord. We don't understand all of the evil things that happen in our world. We don't have the answers for the struggles and the hardships that we have. We know that we have to commit that to the Lord. But we can in the gospel. We recognize that in Jesus Christ, we know that evil will not win. Well, Habakkuk did commit his way to the Lord. And notice what happened in his life. At the end of the prophet Habakkuk, we read that he did commit his way to the Lord. It says in chapter 3, verse 16, "When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fall or fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. You see, Habakkuk was at peace with God. He committed his way to the Lord. That's what faith does. The just shall live by his faith. The justified Christians live this way. They commit their problems and the problem of evil to God. Secondly, living by faith also involves seeking the Lord. Habakkuk not only went to the ramparts to commit his problem to the Lord, but he sought the Lord in prayer. It says in chapter 2 and verse 1, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. So he's going to watch for the Lord. He's going to seek the Lord. He's going to wait and see and watch and see. When evil does its dirty work in our lives or the lives of others, when trials visit us, or when catastrophes in the world like ISIL hit, we must still seek God. John Calvin put it this way, when unbelief or doubts about God's providence come creeping in, when things are so confused in the world so that there seems to be no light, we must bid adieu to our own reason, but persevere in seeking God and his word. Habakkuk was seeking God. Habakkuk went to the rampart, committing his problem to the Lord, but also looking to God for answers, looking for specifically God's answer. You see, he was asking and seeking and knocking for God's answer. And he would take the answer, whatever answer God would give him. For it says in the end of verse number 1, and what I will answer when I am corrected. And what I will answer when I am corrected means that Habakkuk is saying that, God, I'm looking to you, I'm seeking you for an answer, but whatever answer you give to me, that's the answer that I will speak. Christians do this. People of faith seek God. Of course, God answers our prayers according to his will, but the point here is, in Habakkuk's life, and the point that I want to bring out in our lives as Christians is this, that Christians come to God. Those who come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them who seek him. Christians are people who seek God. They not only commit their problems to God, as I've said, but they seek God. They seek God's answer. But can we seek the Lord in the midst of the sin in us? And can we seek the Lord in the midst of the sin around us? Well, obviously, Habakkuk could, but why? Not because sin drove him to God. Sin doesn't drive us to God. Not because the Babylonians were coming. You see, sin blinds mankind to God. Sin so distorts people that they can't see past themselves to God. Sin makes us extremely selfish, that all that we want to see is ourselves. So if it's up to sin, in sin we can never seek God. So how could Habakkuk seek God? How can Hebrews 11 be true of you and I? He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, Habakkuk could seek God because God is good and he is holy and he is faithful. Habakkuk knew this. God himself said this, or Habakkuk himself said this in chapter 1 and verse 12. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You see, Habakkuk understood that God was holy and just and good. Habakkuk was a child of grace. You see, God had sought Israel and God had sought Habakkuk. It is the goodness of God in seeking us that leads us to repentance and to seeking God. And this is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In Him, God came seeking us. And the prophecy of Christ is found in chapter 3 and verse 3 of Habakkuk, where it says, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of His praise. This is the prophecy of Christ. God came from the heavens. God came from His glory down to earth in order to seek us so that we, in response to His seeking us, might seek Him. This is the gospel. You see, Christ Jesus is God's answer. So when we are seeking God, when we are looking to God for an answer for evil and for trials and for difficulties, the answer that God gives to us is His Son. Emmanuel, God with us. God does not give us the secret counsels of His will. The hidden things, those things belong to God. But the things that are revealed to us, they belong to us. And who did God reveal to us? He revealed Himself to us in His Son. Christ is God's answer to the bad things in our lives, to the sin, to the evil. Christ is the answer to the evil that happens in the world. Christ is the answer to all morality and all nations and all people and all difficulties. In Him, seek God, Christian. In Him, seek God, sinner, and you will find God. All that come to Me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. So living by faith involves seeking the Lord. But thirdly, living by faith also involves waiting upon the Lord. It involves waiting upon the Lord. The Lord told Habakkuk that He would set the time for His great work of justice and grace. He would bring it to pass. Notice Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. What's happening here is that Habakkuk in his turmoil sought God for an answer. He committed that problem to God, the problem of God's justice and God's grace. How could God use evil and yet be gracious? He sought after that, and God said, I'm going to give you an answer. It will come to pass. I will show you it. But, Habakkuk, you are to wait. He tells Habakkuk to wait in verse number 3. For the vision is yet an appointed, for an appointed time, but in the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. And you know, Habakkuk does wait for God's answer. We know this again from chapter 3. At the end of this prophecy, as I read earlier, what does Habakkuk say? Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That is a testimony of faith, of waiting on the Lord. You see, Habakkuk's justifying faith, which united him to Jesus Christ, also caused him to live by faith in this, that he prayed, that he committed himself to the Lord, that he sought after the Lord, but also that he waited upon the Lord. In the Bible, waiting on the Lord means this. It means to have a confident expectation full of hope that God will work all things out for His glory and the good of His church. Waiting upon the Lord also involves, in the Bible, the confident, sure hope that Christ will return from the clouds and through the clouds of glory, and that He will put all things right. One day in the great white throne judgment, all things will be put right. And so waiting on the Lord is a necessary practice for God's people who long to hear and see of God's deliverance. You who are God's people, you're sitting here this morning and you long for the judgment day. As we sang in the psalm earlier, just before the sermon, you long for the day when the wicked will get their just deserts and be cast into eternity in hell. And you long for the day when all of those elect of God will be at the right hand of the Father, praising and glorifying Jesus Christ. For we long to hear and see of God's great deliverance day. You see, God's answers or deliverances might not come immediately, though. But Christians are prepared to wait like a sentinel, waiting for and anticipating the message of God to come. That's where Habakkuk was. He was at the ramparts. He was waiting upon the Lord. He was seeking the Lord. He was giving his problems to the Lord. He was waiting. Christians wait. In the face of evil, we by faith have hope in God's timing. So we wait on the Lord. I'm sure that I know that there's at least one person amongst this congregation who was a police officer who saw many evil things. How do you live as a Christian in the world, looking at all the evil that happens in the world, the pedophilia, the child abuse? How do we live in a world like that? We can't as Christians go sticking our heads in the sand. We have to be witnesses of God's grace. So how do we live? Well, we have hope in God's timing. We wait on the Lord. This is His world after all. And you see, our hope as believers is that God is good and that God is just and that God is full of wrath against sin. So we know He will bring justice to this world yet. We know that salvation will also come in its full form to this world yet. And we know that He will defeat evil. So we wait by faith. The just shall live by his faith in Jesus Christ. This hope is sure and steadfast because of the very revelation of the one in whom we have faith, even Jesus Christ. He came into history in the fullness of time to bring justice to this world, but also grace to this world. So we can wait on the Lord because the Lord's sovereign will is perfect. His holy gospel and our salvation shows us this. Our salvation for us who are born again was amazing because at the cross, God's justice was fully satisfied. But at the cross also there was full mercy. So we know when Christ comes and wherever Christ is, there is both justice and mercy. Hallelujah. So we can wait on the Lord. You see, God is our Father, beloved. God is our Father who are believers in the Lord Jesus. We know that we can call Him Abba Father. And He knows how many hairs we have, what kind of children we need. He knows the injustices that we have experienced. And He knows the tragedies in our life. He knows who does evil in St. Thomas and in Chatham. And He also knows that He will repay them perfectly according to their sins. You see, He looks after our life perfectly. We can wait on God. But doesn't God seem slow at times? We wait and we wait for God to help our child's pain. We wait and we wait and pray to help and ask God to take away the cancer. We wait and we wait and ask God to come and save our loved ones, but they're still not redeemed. The slowness of God Sometimes we, like the psalmist, we think, God, are you asleep? Why are you waiting? Why would you let this happen? You could have stopped it. Why? Why are you seemingly so slow? But brothers and sisters, the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by her faith. We know God does all things well. Look at Christ. P.T. Forsyth put it like this. God does all things well. His slowness is his patience. His silence is his omnipotence. His absence is a form of his busyness. His forbearance is a stage of his judgment and a phase of his wise justice. If the thunder of judgment does not follow fast on the flesh of sin, it is not because God is not at the door. He is here, even with us. His justice will not be hurried because of our cry. He will consider everything and everybody. With him, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. The just shall live by his faith. We have to wait on God. Be assured, brothers and sisters, you who are in the Lord, you can wait on God. He is with you and has saved you by Christ, so he can, in love and wisdom, take care of you, working all things out for your good and his glory. After all, no one can take you from the Father's hand. And so, brothers and sisters, we understand that the just shall live by his faith. Not only is a Christian one who by faith is justified in Christ, but a Christian is one who lives his pilgrim life by faith. And in this pilgrim life, we have to learn to commit the problem of evil to the Lord. We have to learn to seek God. We have to also learn to wait upon the Lord. Yes, the just shall live by his faith. However, perhaps you are not justified here this morning. Perhaps you're like the Babylonians, unbelieving. They were pagans, unbelieving. Maybe you don't believe in Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with your evil? What are you going to do with all your sin? Where are you going to take it? What's going to come of it? How will you ever pay for it? Or perhaps you are here this morning like the unbelieving Judah, breaking covenant with God. You've been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but you don't trust the Lord. What are you going to do with your evil? The evil of trodding underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. How do you handle the evil that you hear in the world? Are you going to keep breaking covenant with God and not believe and not own the faith, not trust in the gospel in whose name you were baptized, trusting in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Well, if you are unbelieving or if you are a covenant breaker, committing your problems to the Lord, seeking the Lord, waiting on the Lord will seem strange to you. And if that is the case, may I say this morning that you are in a terrible condition. But may I also say to you in the providence of God that where sin abounds, grace superabounds. Today is the day of salvation. You can deal with all your evil in Jesus Christ. If you come to him in repentance and faith and receive him as your Lord and Savior, he will in no wise cast you out. If you trust in all that the baptism points to, that is Christ and his work upon the cross and his resurrection, then you will be cleansed of all of your sin and be justified. Plus, also, you will have faith and wisdom to understand what this world is all about and understand how God in Christ will overcome evil and deal with the wicked in this world. Come to Christ, and there is your answer for all evil. Today is the day of salvation. Do not put it off one more day. If you are a covenant breaker, repent. Come to Christ. If you are a pagan unbeliever, repent. Come to Christ. And he will save your soul. With a mouth Confession is made unto salvation with the heart. Man believes and is righteous. It's a free offer of the gospel. But dear Christian, I'm speaking to you now. God has made it so that you can live by faith. At times, God's children can't see the wisdom or the justice of God's sovereign left turns or God's sovereign right turns. We ask and even complain, why, Lord, do you allow this evil to happen? What is our response to be? The just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by her faith. Commit your problem to him. Seek the Lord. Wait on the Lord for his answer. It is coming. Amen.